Good morning. Nice to see some faces that we haven't seen for a while due to various circumstances. We're very glad to see you. We've got a few visitors with us. We're glad to have you with us also. Have a couple of prayer requests before we get started. This is coming from Deborah. She says, I am requesting prayers for my son Nathaniel, who went into the Marine Corps boot camp in San Diego, that he will do well and be safe. Also, prayers for her good sister, Terry Walker, and her mother, Annie Broadfield, who is on dialysis right now. And she also wants to thank everybody for the prayers for the loss of her mother, Evelyn Neither, and her father, Julius Neither, who have passed away recently. Her sister Lori is here with us today, and she's moved here, and we're glad to have her with us. Marion sends a good report that her brother John's cancer is in remission. And she asks continued prayers for him as he's continuing to recover from the pancreas surgery that he had last September. So we need to keep John in our prayers. And also, if you would pray for our daughter-in-law, Ashley Eubank. She had an ovarian cyst burst last night, and she's not feeling real good right now. So if you would, she's home, doing better. Went to the emergency room last night, and they gave her some medication and so forth. But she's at home not feeling very good at all. Let's go to God in prayer for these before we get started in our lesson. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you. We're so thankful that we have the time and the place to be able to come, meet together as brothers and sisters, worship you. We're so glad to see some brothers and sisters that have not been able to be here recently. We're so glad that they're back. It's such an encouragement to us, and we hope them also. Dear God, we come to you right now with a special request for those mentioned this morning. We ask that you please be with Ashley. Let her get feeling better soon and not have any more trouble with the cysts. We also pray for Nathaniel as he's begun serving our country in the Marines. We ask that you be with him in his training, keep him safe, let him do well, and let him know that he's missed by his family and loved ones. We also pray for Terry Walker and Annie Broadfield. We pray that the dialysis treatment will be successful, and we ask that you be with that family right now. We also pray for Deborah and her family, as even though it has been a while, it takes a while to recover from the loss of loved ones. And her family have lost both a mother and a father recently. And we pray that she will be able to gain comfort from you, your word, and her fellow brothers and sisters and family members. Dear God, we ask that you be with her. We also rejoice in the fact that Marion's brother John is doing well. We're glad of the report that his cancer is in remission. We ask continued health for him and let him fully recover from the surgery on his pancreas recently. Dear God, be with us in our service. We pray that everything be done in spirit and in truth and is pleasing to you. We pray everything through your Son, Jesus. Amen. Some of you might be old, and well, some of you are old enough to remember President Harry Truman. He had a saying, the buck stops here. I'm glad that there are people that want to be president. I wouldn't want to. what an unbelievable burden and responsibility it is. He was reminded of this fact, and he had a plaque that was on his desk in the White House that the buck stops here. He had to make some very, very difficult decisions during his time as president. It was Harry Truman that made the decision when and where to drop the atomic bombs on Japan to end World War II. By everything I've read, he took the advice of some of the experts, the military, the engineers, the civilian experts, and then dismissed them. And he says, I will make the decision solely on myself. Thank you for your input. He spent a lot of time in prayer. And for his reasons, decided to use an atomic bomb to bring an end to World War II. A few years later in the Korean War, he had to make the decision not only to go into the Korean War, but he relieved General Douglas MacArthur of command. And America, when they heard, it was one of those, you relieved who? Tell us that again. The same, you relieved Douglas MacArthur, the man that had driven the Japanese all the way across the Pacific. You relieved that Douglas MacArthur? You relieved the Douglas MacArthur that saved the day at with the Incheon landing in Korea? You relieved that Douglas MacArthur? Yep. Love him or hate him, Harry Truman lived by the saying, the buck stops here. He was president of the United States, and he understood, what a novel idea for a politician, that he can't pawn off responsibilities on others. When something doesn't go well, I didn't, it was this person that was in charge of it. He understood, it stops with me. That is in the Bible. Frank read our scripture reading this morning. Pilate didn't understand this concept, that the buck stops here. Matthew 27, verse 24, when Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it. I don't want it on me. He's got all the power in the world to have ended it right there. What a weak, weak person. Pawn it off on somebody else. The buck don't stop here with me. I'm washing my hands. Whatever you guys want to do, leave it up to you. We see some other examples of trying to pass the buck. Adam and Eve in the garden. Adam, what's going on? She did it. He didn't take long at all. Pass the buck. Wasn't me, God. That woman you gave me. Didn't even call her by name. That woman. And then he gets to Eve. Eve. Serpent. Devil made me do it. Flip Wilson thought he came up with that. The devil made me do it. Moses, he tried to pass the buck every which way from Sunday. Why he couldn't lead the Israelites. When God, Moses, I want you to lead the Israelites. Oh, I get somebody else. I can't do it for this reason. That. He's trying to pass the buck. We see that all throughout the Bible. The buck stops here. We can't pass the buck. Elders can't pass the buck. Elders are the spiritual leaders of a congregation. Preston mentioned in his opening prayer today, we are without elders. This congregation strives and hopes someday to have qualified. We could have elders right now. We could have elders today. They wouldn't be qualified. But if we wanted elders, that's not the way God wanted. One of these days, we will have elders. And I hope you men are preparing yourselves to be an elder here someday or wherever the Lord takes you to serve. You women, you be preparing yourselves to be a godly wife of an elder. Don't be the one that holds a good man back from being an elder. He might fit all the qualifications except for you. Yeah. Ooh. You children. Buck hasn't stopped yet, kids. Don't you be the reason a good man, your father, cannot be an elder. They guide, they lead, they're the spiritual leaders of a congregation. They cannot pass the buck. Well, it's not my fault. Somebody else's responsibility. We see in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 through 4, the Apostle Peter says, shepherd the flock. Shepherds guide. They lead, they risk themselves for the flock. They're the ones, because the sheep can't see to it themselves. They make sure the sheep are fed, safe, led. You don't drive sheep, you lead them. I love a saying. There's an old saying, I will be led, but will not be driven. Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Shepherd the flock. Don't pawn it off on somebody else's responsibility. You are the shepherds. You are the overseers. In Acts 20, 28, it reads, therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. When a properly qualified elder understands that, it means a lot more. You are shepherding the flock that has been entrusted to you, that was bought with a price. And the price was dear. The blood of the Son of God. That was a high price. And they were entrusted with it. They can't pawn it off on somebody else. Preachers. Preachers have responsibilities. Preachers can't pass the buck. Don sings a song, sits down. Well, I think I'll just let Preston do it today. Kurt, you ready? Curtis, you ready? Colin, you know the thing, the good thing is, if I didn't get up, we have countless men that would have preached the Word of God today. That's the great thing about this congregation. The Word of God would have been preached. But preachers, they teach through word and hopefully conduct. A lot of preachers out there may even preach the Word of God, but maybe they don't preach it through their conduct. I hope that is always taught here. I pray that I will always teach in word and lifestyle. It is a tremendous responsibility, one not taken lightly. You can't pawn it off and pass the buck to somebody else. They present the majority, not just me, but preachers present the majority of the doctrine that is taught publicly. I hope the Word of God that you get each week is not the majority taught from me. I hope it comes from you. Your own personal study. I hope that's the majority. But preachers teach the majority of the lessons taught from the pulpit publicly. But I'll tell you, if all you're getting is the 20, 25, 30 minutes from me each week, you're doing yourself a disservice. I don't care how good the guy is. He could be the Apostle Paul himself. And if that's all you're getting a week, you're selling yourself short. James 3:1. James writes, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall incur a stricter judgment." We're going to have a stronger judgment on us by others, evaluating whether what you say and what you live matches up. We're going to have a stricter judgment from ourselves, and especially from God. Heaven forbid I say something that is incorrect. Because if I can't get to each one that heard that and correct it, that's on me. The buck stops here. Whoever is preaching the Word of God. In 2 Timothy 2:2, Paul writes to Timothy and he says, "And these things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Paul is teaching Timothy to make the gospel live long past you. We are living examples of this verse. Somebody has taught you. Thousands of years after Paul said this, it didn't stop with just the apostles. Somebody taught you. Hopefully you are teaching others. Hopefully I am teaching others. Later on, a few verses later, he says, "Be diligent." This is the New King James. I love the King James where it says, "Study to show yourself approved." Talk about not passing the buck. I mean, study. You want to know something? I just don't know that much. Study. Look at this face. It's not the brightest bulb around. Okay? Paul says, be diligent. Study to present yourself approved to God. A worker. Not a slacker. A worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He is telling Timothy to do this so you can rightly divide the word of truth, so you don't have to worry about preaching false doctrine. And then later on in the book, he says, preach the word. Not social gospel, not feel good. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season, when it's convenient, when it's expected, but also when it's not. convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. I will tell you, some sermons are easier to preach than others. Exhorting sermons are easy, where you're trying to encourage, pats on the back. Those are easy because you're not stepping on any toes. Try some of the rebuking sermons. To do it with all long-suffering and teaching. That's how Paul is telling Timothy. And he goes on to say, for the time will come. He explains what to do. Now he says why. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Parents, youth ministers are a good tool. Ministers are a good tool. Other people are good tools. I bet you there's not one of us that can say 100% that we were saved due to the efforts of just one person. There's probably been multiple people. I hope there are people in our kids' lives that are playing a part in enriching and fulfilling and teaching and being good examples that they can see. But whether they are or not, parents, it's your job. Not a youth minister, not the, well, that's what we pay a preacher for. It's not the elder's responsibility. It's your job. You had them. You teach your children. Teach your children the Bible. Teach your children proper behavior. Prepare them. That's what our role is to prepare them, not shelter them. Prepare them to where Paul told Timothy, you train other men, so they in turn can train other men. We are training our children so they can be active, productive adults when we're gone. We teach them proper actions, proper attitudes toward worship. What are we teaching our children about worship? Oh, it's okay. We had a late night last night. We'll go next week. I am so mad at so-and-so. What are we teaching them about forgiveness? What are we teaching them about how to interact with fellow Christians? Gossiping. We'll get them before they get us. Don't trust anybody. What are we teaching? Parents, it's our jobs to teach our children. We can't pawn it off. The buck stops here. Ephesians 6:4, Paul wrote, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. You train them. Not do as I say, but not as I do. Train them in example and word. And last but not least, it all boils down to the individual. It's great to have elders. It's great to have a preacher. It's great to have parents to teach us. But you know, when it all boils down, We are responsible for our own salvation. We cannot, on that great day of judgment, we're not going to be able to pawn it off and pass the buck. The buck stops here with us. We can't blame anybody else. We can't pawn the responsibility off. We are accountable. In Romans 14, verses 11 and 12, Paul writes, "For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God." We're not going to stand before God and inform God what everybody else did. "God, you know what so-and-so did on Sundays? What did you do?" We're not talking about everybody else. We're going to have to give an account of ourselves to God. In Philippians 2:10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth. Every knee is going to bow down to Jesus. In Galatians 6:9, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." We can't pass the buck. We can't blame others. We have to not grow weary while doing good. Some of us that may have become Christians as a young person, you've got many years, hopefully, to serve God. If somebody became a Christian later in life, you've got less time. But the thing is, God's made it equal. All of us have to serve God until we die, whenever that is. The buck stops here with us. We can't pawn off responsibilities. We can't pawn off salvation, blame others. It stops with us. If you need to respond to the invitation, if you haven't put your Lord on in baptism, you're not a Christian. If you need to become a Christian, if you'd like to start studying about what being a Christian is, we would love to work with you. If you need prayers, we went to God on behalf of a number of brothers and sisters today before our lesson even started. If you need prayers of your brothers and sisters, if you need to repent of sin, don't do it after lunch. Don't pawn it off on somebody else. If you need to repent, you repent. Whatever your need, please come forward while Don leads us in the invitation. Let's stand.